All right, welcome to Section 5, Project 2 Continued. This will be a fairly brief section since we have in the past two sections focused on Project 2, but in today's section we will focus specifically on the SVG and XSLFO portion of Project 2. What I will do is pull up in front of me the PDF for Project 2, and we can complete our walkthrough of exactly what remains to be done in this project. So recall that early in this project, around page 4, there were a number of short answers entitled quickies that asked you at the time to answer a couple of questions about XML and XSLT, but specifically you were charged with formatting your answers as XML and then rendering them ultimately with XSLT as XSLFO in order to generate a PDF. So one, the format in which you store your answers in this XML file is entirely up to you. I would probably keep it simple, some kind of element with zero or more attributes for each question that makes clear exactly what question is encapsulated where. As for your style sheet, the XSL file, I would write one in such a way that the outputted XSLFO is relatively simple. Look to some of our most recent lectures' simplest of examples. There's no need to make this an arduous task, outputting the PDF ultimately. And specifically, do take care to follow the directions in the project as to how to transform the XML file with your XSL file to generate the FO, the formatting objects file. And then we give you the command for FOP with which to generate the actual PDF. Again, this exercise here is really just to mention, intended to get you to go through the steps of generating a PDF after outputting XSLFO, after outputting, generating the same with XSLT based on your XML file. We will revisit XSLFO and these dynamic generations of PDFs in projects 3 and 4. So this is really just a rudimentary exercise to prepare us for what is to come. So with that said, let's forward along in the PDF, 3 and 4. Numbers 3 and 4 were those quickies. B2B time, of course, you should have completed by now. Presumably my blockbuster should be complete as well. So at this point, it's assumed that you are knee-deep in Xtube, specifically its SVG portion. So this is a fun part of the project, I think, because you've already had an opportunity now to transform this fairly large XML data into a web page of some sort for the XHTML portion of the project, and it remains now, presumably, for you to output SVG of the same. Bear in mind that the SVG you ultimately output will not, by expectation, appear to resemble rather accurately the PDFs and the GIFs that you've been working off of, because what you have in Xtube.xml is the geographically accurate information for the Xtube data set. What you have in the form of those GIFs and PDFs, meanwhile, are more human-friendly versions of the transit system, much like the MBTA's own depiction of Boston's subway system and such is slightly but not entirely geographically to scale and consistent. So with that said, the best example I think that you can turn to as to how to approach this part of the problem set is to look, for instance, at circle.svg, which was one of our examples from Lecture 6. That was a fairly simple output in SVG of what is the circle line, using yellow for its edges to depict the circle line's color, and using circles to depict each of the stops on that line. Even though it is composed of quite a bit of lines of code, if you view the source for circle.svg, you'll notice that there's an incredible amount of redundancy there, and you will find that the amount of XSLT, to be honest, that you need to write for this portion of the project is not terribly much, because much of what you'll be outputting is fairly redundant in structure. So you'll simply be applying relatively simple style sheet to the XML file for Xtube and outputting a fairly interesting, I think, geographic depiction of all of the data therein. Things to bear in mind. One, a number of the lines overlap edges. For instance, the circle and district lines share a significant set of nodes and edges among them. That is perfectly fine, but you'll notice, for instance, that you won't see, most likely, both colored edges between pairs of nodes that are shared by such lines, because one is obviously going to overlap the other. You are not expected to figure out how to offset one of the lines, so that you have a nice bi-directional depiction of color. If you'd like to go that extra mile, by all means do so. This is essentially a problem along the lines of the trigonometric functions that I alluded to in lecture 5 as to how I depicted the wireless sensor network and having bidirectional edges of potentially different colors. So it's a non-trivial task, fun task, but it's not a required task of the problem set. Simply get the data into the SVG and it will look good enough for our purposes. Beyond that, you should take care to notice the order of operations. It would be certainly nice that the circles that represent nodes are on top of the line so that things are at least as clear as is possible. Note as well that the project assumes that your SVG will render fine in Adobe's SVG Viewer, which is available for free via the course's website under software. There are certainly other implementations of SVG on other platforms. You're welcome to download those, but do take care to at least test your SVG using Adobe, since that's what we'll use to evaluate your own work. It should adhere to standards nonetheless, but you will want to bear in mind that Adobe's viewer will sometimes report an error, which is not an important error to say that it doesn't understand the SVG 1.1 doc type, simply because the viewer is only designed to understand the 1.0 doc type. They never seem to have gotten around to updating it, but that's perfectly fine. So long as the SVG renders and you as a human can evaluate it and decide that, yes, this is what I expect to be rendered, that's fine. Don't worry if you're simply getting that doc type error. For the most part, what we are doing with SVG is perfectly consistent with SVG 1.0 and doesn't employ techniques that would be specific to 1.1. With that said, that's about it. We've simply deferred this part of the problem, part of the project, until we've actually had our introduction to SVG and XSLFO. So hopefully you enjoy this final aspect of it. Notice that we do offer you some directions in the PDF as to how to rasterize your own SVG as something else, for instance as JPEG or PDF, which is sort of a nice lesson in not in realizing that you don't necessarily need to output in final form SVG, but rather you can use it as a sort of intermediate step, much like I did again in our discussion of sensor networks last week, when I actually, though I rendered that depiction of the signal strengths using SVG, I then outputted it for a research group using JPEG or GIF, because that was simply a more friendly format for us to work with. So please feel free to contact me or the listserv if you have any questions about Project 2. Otherwise, best wishes with finishing this up, and we hope that you enjoy your little foray into London's tubes, trains, and trams. Good luck.